Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. And when it comes to achieving your breakthrough, your performance, the time you put in really matters when it comes to accomplishing the big goals that you want to do and the direction that your life takes. And if you want to, you're going to have to perform either way. It's going to be good or it's going to be bad. But if we're going to have to perform, if we're going to really pursue the things that we want to pursue and attract them into our lives, we need to have a superhuman performance, because if we have that kind of performance, the big goals that we give ourselves, they're going to head our way as we continue to work towards them. So this episode will be about how do we maintain a level of superhuman performance in the work that we do. So today's guest, he is a speaker, trainer, and expert who helps business owners and executives apply daily practices to safely enter and exit the state of flow and perform in ways they have only dreamed of. So that is who today's guest is, but who exactly is this guy? Well, today's guest for episode 303 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Clay Green. Clay, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, I'm so excited to be here, man. I'm so excited. The way I did not know that this would be episode 303. That just makes my day right there, brother. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Clay, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. And I mean, when it comes to performance, it's really important for us to hone in on the time we're putting in, the kind of effort we're putting in, and then that's what really leads to that superhuman performance. You definitely know a lot about that topic, so I'm really excited to dive in. But before we dive really deep into the how-to, tactic, strategy, things like that, can you just share with us a little bit of your background on why you decided to start on this journey of helping others achieve superhuman performance?
Awesome, Mark. Yeah, I can. There's two perspectives here to look at. One, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background and the things that I've experienced in my life. And what you're going to hear is a lot of jobs. You're going to hear a lot of careers, a lot of things, my career, basically, working for the man. And the whole time, the thing to keep in mind, the whole time I wanted and tried multiple times to build multiple different types of businesses. So that's one thing. So those of you that are out there right now kind of like bumping up against that, brother, I'm just letting you know, don't stop. Keep your eye on your goal. And what you're going to hear today and the things I'm going to share are hopefully going to help you get one step closer. There's one thing you take away, I'm going to be thankful. So my background, Mark, it's really interesting because we were talking briefly before, and I'm from Alabama originally. So I have a very basic schooling background, like, for example, anyway, and if you've seen Forrest Gump, that's kind of real. So I graduated high school back in the 80s, and I went into the U.S. Navy because I did an Alabama thing, man. I kind of followed the path that was laid before me, and I fell in love and had a baby, and got in financial trouble, and I better go ahead and join. I joined the Navy. And I somehow, and there's so many little mini stories in here that I'm so excited about. But the bottom line is, I became a Navy nuclear reactor operator.
Wow.
Now, what that means, now, when people hear nuclear, they think of bombs. That's the first, and missiles. Well, that's not what I did. I didn't play with that stuff. On board the vast majority of submarines in the U.S. Navy, they're powered by nuclear reactors, and aircraft carriers are powered by nuclear reactors. So we're talking about a power plant. What did that mean? Why is the Alabama thing to nuclear power relative? I'm letting you know that I'm technical. I'm letting you know that I went from a generic general high school education into nuclear science. I had to understand what was happening inside that reactor on a subatomic level. When I pushed a button or turned a knob, I had to know what's going to happen, when, why, where, all that. So and not just in the reactor, but all the systems attached. I had to, the knowledge level, and then they put me on a submarine. I've been in casualty situations where there's a fire burning or where there's high pressure oil spraying out and a fire could erupt at any second. I've been under the water and the reactor shuts down. I can't tell you how deep. I'm not supposed to, but it was deep. My point is, you got to know what's going on. So I spent a lot of time being very technical, very, very, very schooled. I got out of the Navy and I became one other thing I did in the Navy is I was a trainer. I not only was a reactor operator, but I was training others. And that was my first taste of what has become my life's passion, and that's training. So I train people, and I fell in love with it. Fast forward, out of the Navy, the company, you know the company Intel, Mark?
Yes.
Right? They make computer chips. They don't make computers. They make computer chips. So I worked for companies that like Intel and Intel for about 15 years after I got out of the Navy. And you got some job changes in there. You got some career changes. I was an engineer for Intel. I worked in the newest R&D up in Portland, Oregon. We mentioned that. I worked in the Portland, Oregon area. And if those of you that know that area and what Intel's doing up there, I was in that organization inside the fab, building, managing, and teaching. I spent about 7 years in there, 10 years, something like that, as a teacher and a trainer on these pieces of equipment that are actually putting together the chips that we're using today. And again, the whole time I was trying to build a business, but I was also doing fun stuff. Like I learned how to snowboard in there. And then when I was down in Silicon Valley, I learned how to ride a motorcycle, Mark. And about 6 years ago now, I was taking a class about how to build a software as a service business. So if you're in a class right now, like learning how to build an Amazon business or learning how to build an information marketing business or some other online thing, and you're in a class, and you know what I mean. I was taking these classes and I was meeting up with, I was learning from the instructors, and we did that for about 6 months. Well, right in the middle of that 6 months, it happened. I was traveling about 85 miles an hour on my motorcycle, Mark, and a deer ran out in front of me. And I had zero warning. I did not crash. It hit me. It hit the side of my motorcycle. It hit the front wheel of my motorcycle. And I should have crashed, but I did not crash. That 3 seconds, this was not one of those near-death experiences where I was scared to death. And some people call it the come to Jesus moment. That happened when I was in my early 20s on a submarine one time. When I realized how important my life was and what I wanted to do with it and all that good stuff. This was a moment of clarity. Because in that moment, Mark, I was in the deepest state of flow I had ever been in. That 3 to 5 seconds felt like it lasted about a week. I experienced everything. I felt the deer's neck break around my right hand, which was holding the throttle. I literally felt its neck. I remember the vertebra. I remember the cracking. Everything slowed down so much. And so I was in this super deep state of flow, and I did all the right things. I didn't crash. I flew 15 feet roughly through the air. And if you know what a tank slapper is, I did half a dozen tank slappers. And I should have crashed, but I didn't. I got around a bend and I parked the bike and I went back and looked, and I hadn't crashed. And frankly, Mark, that's teaching people today. That's what I do. I teach people how to enter and exit that level of performance at will on any task safely.
And it's really interesting you mentioned that state of flow where, I mean, if you really are at that state, you are achieving this really superhuman performance. It really does feel like you are performing a lot longer. And you look at the time and you're like, wow, I still have all this time left. I've already accomplished so much in this day. So that's definitely something we want to feel a lot more often. And one of the things that I feel like can really prevent us from hitting that superhuman performance is something called head trash, where pretty much we just think these negative thoughts. Like, I'm sure if Clay were to be in that same situation, but instead be thinking like, I can't do this. I just started riding a motorcycle. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not ready to do this. I'm sure it would be a very different story. So we're definitely going to get into how do we get this performance, but we should set the foundation right first. So can you share a little bit with us how we get rid of some of that head trash in our minds?
So Mark, you hit my passion, brother. I love teaching people about the state of flow because so much can happen. My latest biggest bragging point is an accountant that literally sat down and did twice the amount of work in half the time because she used these tactics and these practices. I was so proud of that. So that's what we're talking. And that's not a joke. This is someone that I can introduce you to that is a experienced accountant, and she measured it. I'm so proud and I'm so thankful that she did things the way she did things so that she now knows and I can use her as an example of a hard, fast statistic. She did twice the work in half the time. I can't believe that. But like you said, I guarantee that everyone has heard some, if not all, of the little tiny little tactics to put yourself into a state of flow. The tiny little tactics about managing your day and managing your energy. I guarantee everybody knows it, but that what you just said, the base, the foundation. Here's what it comes down to in my world. I know three habits, and I help people start these three habits. And I'll be honest, man, I've been working with a few people for years now. And guess what we talk about every freaking meeting? It always comes back to this, those three habits. And I want to be very careful. I want to be very specific here. I'm going to say two verbs. There's two verbs before those three habits, and those two verbs are vital. Verb number one is start. So if you have not started, if you do not have these three habits, start. Next verb, grow. If you are doing these habits, that's awesome. Grow them. Grow these habits. Every day you need to be growing. You need to be doing something weekly, monthly, at the most every month, testing something new, trying something different, seeing if you can optimize one of these habits to get a little bit more out of it, because I guarantee you can. And those three habits, Mark, are meditation, journaling, and gratitude.
Those are definitely really reflective ones.
Say that again?
Those are definitely some very reflective habits.
Not necessarily. They can be reflective, or they can be programming or future setting. Or more importantly, when we start talking about the state of flow, presence setting. Those are the three habits. So meditation, for example. If we take everything else off the table except go get into a state of flow, well, meditation, that strengthens your brain and strengthens your muscle, the muscle that is required for you to have the discipline and the focus to go through the stages of flow and do the practices and the tactics to actually get into the state of flow, and more importantly, come out of it. That coming out of the state of flow is vital. It is so important. It is the most important part. And what you do when you come out of this state of flow, that's so important. And you have meditative habits there. Journaling, handwriting, putting pen to paper is so vital. It will be used. Either you may be, like you said, it may be reflective. It may be your planning sessions. It may be how you describe or write down what you want your new business to be, to look like, or what your next step in business is, uncovering your best client. It could be a lot of things, but in regards to the state of flow, we will use journaling, handwriting, in order to do some of the psychological tricking, the psychological state setting to enter the state of flow. And again, on the recovery side, on the output, when you come out of the state of flow, documentation, because you always want to be improving, otherwise you're standing still. When you come out of the state of flow, you've got to document some stuff about that last state of flow so that you can improve it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And gratitude, that's the muscle builder. The part of our brain. So in the last 5 years, what I've done, Mark, because of that deer hit, is I've become a brain geek. I've probably spent more time talking to psychologists and brain scientists and studying them and reading their books and reading their papers than a brain science student. At least that's what it feels like sometimes. But the bottom line is the part of our brain that we, and I am being very subjective here because I'm assuming everyone here wants to be an optimist. Everyone listening wants to be successful at building a business or building a relationship or in some way having a positive breakthrough. Well, the part of our brain that we need to work on, we need to grow it, because every day of our lives we've been oppressed. We've been hit with marketing messages telling us we're not good enough. Or maybe if you grew up like me and, you know, you had strict parents, you've got parents telling you you're not doing it right, or school or teachers or what. You've been in this environment we call, you know, the world, where we've been programmed that we're not good enough, that we're not going to make it, that you need to suffer, all that stuff. Well, we want to override that. We want to rewire that. And the part of our brain that is the most important is most grown, most amplified by gratitude. That part, when you're sitting there, they've done the MRI, the fMRI studies and all this stuff on everything from monks to heroin addicts to teenagers playing video games. And that part of our brain that we want to grow, that's going to enable us to quickly and easily enter the state of flow, quickly and easily and safely exit the state of flow. That part of our brain that's going to give us the biggest lever is most amplified, most grown with gratitude. That's why I've picked that as my third habit. Well, there's my foundation.
I mean, those are definitely some really good habits. I mean, when you hear those habits, they're not just good for getting rid of the head trash, getting rid of our negative thoughts, but they're also good because you mentioned that programming where you can set yourself up for success by meditating, by journaling with gratitude, because you visualize the success and you get really clear on what that is. And the gratitude allows you to enjoy the journey, enjoy the present moment, instead of feeling anxious about the future. So definitely some really great habits there. I'm also wondering if we could talk about what are some of the things that go into achieving a superhuman performance. I know those three habits are really strong, and I mean, they could do a lot of things on their own, but is there any other essentials for getting that kind of performance?
Oh yeah, we're heading that way. So I literally just finished what I call my alumni mastermind. As we're recording this, I'm about I'm a half an hour out of finishing up my alumni mastermind, where I have people in that mastermind that have learned how to do this, and they're still with me and they're still growing in what I call that alumni mastermind. And I emphasized and reemphasized, because everybody slips. Those three habits aren't helpful. Those three habits are mandatory in my world. From a state of flow perspective, you have to be now. Now, be careful. I want to give a warning. I am not dictating how you meditate, how you journal, or how you practice gratitude. The trick is to find what works for you. But those three habits are flat out mandatory if you're going to build a successful. I guarantee, Mark, that every successful business owner we know, between us, we will not find one that does not in some way have those habits installed in their day. They may not call it the same thing, but they're there. As far as state of flow, moving into the state of flow practices, there are three basic big picture blocks. Block number one is some knowledge about the state of flow. I'm sorry, the stages of flow. So there's four stages of flow that we have to understand. Stage number one is called struggle. Now, the reason it's called struggle, and we can get into some gory detail, but I just want to summarize this. Struggle does not have the struggle stage of the state of flow does not have to be a struggle. But it's still a stage in the state of flow. The next stage is release. So typically what this translates to, and I can use lots of examples here, but if you've got a big test coming up or a big client call, the quote unquote struggle phase is you're sitting there looking at this big unknown and you're worried about it and you prepared for it. And there's some quote unquote anxiety around it. I just published an article on LinkedIn actually today. I just did that a little while ago. That talks about the struggle phase. And the message again is this: what I'm describing here is the struggle phase or the struggle stage, and how it is typically described and how it's characterized normally, but it does not have to be a struggle. So normally it is a struggle. Then the release. What this is characterized by is a moment or a small period of time when you release the anxiety around the struggle. So maybe, for example, you're walking into a classroom, and you're getting ready to take a test, and every day you walk in and you sit down and you take out your pad and you take out your computer, or you take out your resources. And so there's this routine that requires your attention, it takes enough of your brain's attention to do this very routine, mundane thing, so that your brain is not stressing or anxious about the struggle, the thing that you were worried about before. So it releases it. This manifests in many different ways. The struggle phase and the release phase. The trick is, going through my courses and going through my training, whether it's one-on-one or my group training, what we do is we develop and design struggle and release phases custom for you, so that you're not struggling, and so that we get this period as short as possible, so that we can enter the third stage, which is the state of flow. So we've got struggle, release, and then we enter the state of flow. The state of flow is ecstasy. As a matter of fact, Kotler, in his latest book, who's one of the leading researchers and authors about the state of flow, in his latest book, he does not use the word state of flow. He's changed it to ecstasis, or non-ordinary state. I like state of flow. It just feels good still, because that was his previous words. So this state of flow, if you've ever played a video game, you know what it is. If you've ever gotten lost in a binge watching some Netflix or something, you know what the state of flow is. The state of flow is characterized by first, well, I can't say first. It could be characterized by several things, so in no particular order, but I would say the most common, time distortion. For example, that client of mine that did twice the work in half the time, she forgot to set a timer. So she was just working and feeling good. She entered the state of flow. She went through the struggle. She released. She did the release process, and then she started work. And she was working, 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 working. And at the point where she said, oh, my goodness, her name is Casey, by the way. Casey stopped, and she said, I've just done 6 months instead of 3 months of this client's books. Holy cow, I must have been working maybe two and a half hours, because she expected to do 3 months in an hour. So she stopped and she pushed back her desk from her desk, and she did the fourth state of flow, which is called recovery. She did her recovery process. And I'll talk more about that in a second. And then she looked at the clock and she realized that she had literally done twice the anticipated amount, 3 months in only 30 minutes. Instead of 3 months and 60 minutes. I'm sorry, she did 6 months, twice the work in half the time. So time distortion, that was the point there. She felt like, wow, I must have worked 3 hours. Nope, you didn't. My example with the deer, I felt like 3 seconds lasted at least 5 minutes, to be more realistic than the week. Another example is you sit down to play a video game and you're gonna play video game, you know, just for an hour, and then you're gonna go to bed, or you're gonna play it for a half an hour, or you're gonna do this, and then you're gonna get up and eat, and then you're gonna go out and see a movie or whatever, and then, you know, 8 hours goes by. You relate to that one, Mark?
Oh yeah,
I love how you laughed at that one. So another one of my clients, Trevor. I worked with him for about 6 months, and it was in a one-on-one situation, and he learned about this stuff and we were working on his business and performance in his business. And one day he sent me a message. He said, Clay, I just realized something. I haven't touched a video game for like 2.5 months. Now that was the first I'd heard of a video game. We didn't talk about video games for 6+ months. There was no conversation about video games. However, it turns out my boy was addicted. Since he was about 8 years old, he spent at least 2.5 hours a day playing a video game. By implementing conscious state of flow entry, he was giving himself the dopamine and those non-ordinary states and those feelings of ecstasis. He was giving himself that in normal everyday tasks like accounting or copywriting. Or coding. And so he didn't have the urge to go invest more time in playing a video game. So he didn't even try to break that habit. It just wasn't there anymore. It was like losing the taste for a cigarette. I was shocked. I love that story though. That's an awesome, in my mind, so time, that's one. Is there any questions about that part right there, Mark, so far?
I mean, you covered a lot. I mean, it's really interesting. I'm just trying to grasp all this.
So the big picture is struggle. It's what we're talking about are the four stages of flow: struggle, release, the state of flow. And what I mentioned so far was that the state of flow is marked by loss of time conception. So what's physically happening is in your brain. Parts of your brain are literally shutting down because, well, I won't go too deep here, but the one part of the brain that shuts down is that part that measures time for us. Another part that shuts down, I wish we were kind of on video here, Mark, but if you can imagine reaching out and touching your computer keyboard right now, just gently touching it, there's a boundary between your fingers and your keyboard. The part of your brain that defines that boundary is another part of your brain that gets shut down. So another very common example of our symptom, I should say, another common symptom of the state of flow is you feel connected to everything. We lose our sense of self. So this is why heroes like veterans and firefighters, this is why those guys get addicted to being selfless and going and sacrificing themselves and risking their lives, because there is no I can't. There is no I. When you are in a deep, deep state of flow, you go away and you just perform. And it's mad. And I'm so proud to be able to say I help people figure that out and do that every day. So then here's the important part, though. And this is why I said it's the most important part. So we're talking about the stages of flow, right? The most important part is recovery. And why is that? And it's the fourth stage of flow. What happens during recovery is you rest. Here's the bad news. It does not feel as good as being in the state of flow. The state of flow is a non-ordinary state, and you're living in this ecstatic, joyful, I'm connected to everything. This is the thing. This is the only thing happening on the planet. Whatever you're focusing on, whether it's, you know, keeping my motorcycle up so I don't die after I hit a deer, whether it's saving somebody's life, running into a burning building, or whether it's doing an interview on Skype or doing my accounting. Right? So I'm in that zone. Well, guess what? Later today, I'm burning energy. That's the other thing. You can't not burn energy. As a matter of fact, when you're in a state of flow and you're performing, you're burning more energy than you normally do. So when you go into this recovery period, this is when your body literally tries to rest. Have you ever heard the stories about young athletes coming out of college or out of high school, and then all of a sudden they're multimillionaires and they become drug addicts?
I've heard about the millionaire. I have not heard about the drug addicts part.
How about rock stars or performance artists? Yes. They're up on stage, right? And they're jamming, they're doing their thing, and then they go backstage. Here's what happens. They were in the state of flow, and then they come off stage and they're like, how do I keep this going? This feels good. And they turn to everything from, you know, crazy sex stuff to drugs, to skydiving, to jumping off of cliffs with a wingsuit on. They keep pushing themselves because that's all they know how to. They know that if they push themselves to the edge, they can feel that feeling. And so they try to do it, and they keep trying to do it, and keep trying to do it. Well, the problem with us is we'll get into the state of flow, and then at night or in the evening, we get like really depressed. We get like, we enter a state where it's like, you start beating yourself up. Comes back to that trash talk, brain's negative self-talk that you were talking about. And that's when the monsters can come out, and that's when bad decisions can be made. Right. And that, like, for example, you don't go to bed on time, which means you don't get enough sleep, which means tomorrow you can't perform like you did today. So that recovery period and having that safe recovery period is vital. I have one more quick story about that and a warning. This is a warning, Mark, for your audience. I went and did about 3 hours of training on how to actually enter the state of flow once to a group. And then about 6 months later, somebody in that group came and sought me out, and I did an interview with them. Here's what happened to them. They took what I taught them in this very condensed training, and they read a book or two. And then this guy said, hey, he got another friend of his, and they said, let's do this. Let's hack ourselves into flow. And let's produce, let's get this business started. Let's produce this content. And all of a sudden, 2.5 weeks went by where they slept for about 3 hours a day, where they ate maybe one meal a day. They were dehydrated. They disappeared from their families. They were in their early 20s. Their families thought they must have become meth addicts or something, and they just disappeared. It took him months to recover. The recovery period from putting yourself into a state of flow like that, to get back to normal after the dive that you're going to take is pretty hard and pretty extreme. So my warning is, do not test this unsupervised. You will put yourself into a state of flow. And if you do not have a safe recovery pattern built, a safe recovery plan, it's dangerous.
That's definitely a very interesting insight, because normally we think about flow as writing the book quicker, creating the content sooner. But if you put yourself into the wrong flow, where you're overworked or you're not even pursuing the right things, you're in the wrong flow, and that will affect the way you feel about yourself. And you just want to be careful about what kind of flow you put in, which is something very important to take away from this part of the episode. And one of the things that I also want to discuss, like, we have this state of flow, we have superhuman performance, but not everyone feels like they are hitting that level or hitting their goals. So what do you believe holds most people back from really being able to achieve that sense of life-changing performance and really being able to hit their big goals?
Are we talking about hitting the goal, or are we talking about feeling like they're moving toward hitting their goal?
Ooh, good question. Let's talk about, for this one, the feeling like we're heading towards the goal.
Recovery period. That's easy. Recovery period. So if you're working toward a goal, the odds are, so there's a couple things, Mark. I like what you said. There is no, but sort of, there is no good or bad state of flow. The state of flow exists. And if it's how you use it that determines if it's going to be a good or bad thing for you. Now, having said that, let's go down this path and use the example of somebody that goes into a state of flow and stays there for days or weeks versus somebody that learns to manage it on an hourly basis or a work session basis. At the end of the work session, if you review what you just did and connect it to your big picture goal, so you're constantly reminding yourself, okay, look, I just did an interview. I just spent 1 hour writing copy for my website. I just did my books for June and July. Whatever it is, whatever that thing is that you just did, if you immediately integrate that into your perception and your perspective of the world. In other words, I just did 2 months of bookkeeping, and that's important because why? And then you connect that why to your big picture goal. You want to be a successful business owner, and business owner and big and successful business owners, they manage their wealth, they manage their books, right? And I just did that. In that recovery period is when your brain is what they call consolidating what just happened. You're learning. You're making new neural connections. So by actively choosing what happens in the recovery period, you're doing your best to do exactly what you just said, Mark. Go to bed every night knowing that today you probably didn't do your best because you could have done better at everything, but you moved 2 steps closer to your goal. You are living your dream right now. You're moving in that direction. Did that answer that question?
Yes, that, I mean, I really like that insight, because we do move closer each day as long as we're just putting in the work. Sometimes we move a lot closer on some days than on other days, but if we do keep putting in that effort, we definitely get closer to the big goals it is that we're seeking. And one of the habits that I'd also like to throw in, I know you mentioned your big three: meditation, journaling, and gratitude. One of the big habits for me is to learn as much as possible. So with that in mind, Clay, I know you've really immersed yourself in this topic. I'm sure you read a lot of books. So I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you think will have a big impact on us.
I'm seeking the inspiration. So one more quick thing, and then I'll throw the books.
Sure.
Today may be a day where you don't take a step towards your goal, but you focus on your self-care. Days off, rest, recovery. Those can be and are, quote unquote, required. So taking care of yourself needs to be one of the highest priorities you have if you're going to be a successful business owner. Now, books. I'm trying to think about what order. So I'm going to save the Kotler book for last, and I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go number one, Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. That's the baseline. If you're trying to build a business and you've not read that book, go get it today. Think and Grow Rich, period. Another book that is very, very important, The One Thing. I think Keller is the author's name, like Keller Williams Realty.
Yes.
The One Thing. And finally, Stealing Fire. Like you're going to go and steal fire from someone. You're stealing fire. That's Stephen Kotler's latest work on the state of flow. And it's if you go read that book and you want to perform at that level, I am still searching, Mark. And if any of your audience says, well, wait a second, you can't be as good as this guy, please reach out to me and tell me who I'm not as good as, because I think I'm the world's best state of flow integration trainer. I am the guy that teaches people how to integrate the state of flow into their daily life safely. And that's what that book is about, is what that is and how to do that.
Clay, thank you for those great book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, marketability.com/E303. We'll also be throwing in content marketing secrets in there as well. One thing I do want to point about with Clay's response that he said he is the best, and you really do not, if you want to be successful in the area that you're going after, you cannot be afraid to go after trying to be the best and be able to publicly state you're the best. So take Clay's example and don't be afraid to really go after something and put in the effort and then be able to say I'm the best in this area. So definitely something I wanted to point out during this time.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, Clay, I mean, like this episode, I mean, like you've really shared a lot of great insights with us. I've been able to ask you a bunch of questions, but in wrapping up, I'm wondering if you could share with us one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
When you're starting your day, you're fresh, you're awake, preferably sometime, you know, if you've got a morning routine where you stretch and you meditate, and maybe you have a good journaling habit set up, maybe at the end of that, or maybe right as you're sitting down to work, somewhere in there, ask yourself, I'm going to label tonight when I go to bed, I'm going to label today a great success if. And it could be something that you want to get done, and it could be a feeling or an experience that you want to have. Like if my girlfriend kisses me today, if my wife smiles at me that way, if I get this one task done. Warning, do not make this your task list. This is not your to-do list. This is a minimum requirement for you to go to bed and think, huh, I did that today. I had a good day. This was a good day because I did that one thing. That's a big game changer.
Clay, thank you so much for sharing that insight with us. I mean, we should really get clear on what we need to do to feel successful each day. So thank you for sharing that insight with us and for sharing all of your great insights with us today. For anyone who's wondering where exactly can we find Clay and learn more about him, where are some good places for us to go?
It's spelled really funny, but the website is enthusiastically.com. It's the word enthusiastically, but it's misspelled with my name at the end instead of the right way. I'm sure there'll be a link for it here.
Definitely.
I'm constantly inviting people into the custom one-on-one or custom masterminds, so the private masterminds, because I don't have a course. I don't teach this like a course, like an online self-taught thing. I teach this to small groups of people at a time. There's a website that you can find through that, enthusiasticclay.com, and get that. LinkedIn and Facebook. My Facebook business page is Enthusing Clay. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Clay, thank you so much for sharing with us those places we could find you, all of your great insights through our time together. I mean, you shared a lot with us, so just thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success today.
Hey, man, I really enjoyed it, Mark. I'm glad we met. I love getting to know new people, and I'm excited about what you're building, what you're growing, and thank you. Thank you for giving me another spot, another place to share and hopefully help somebody touch that next level. Breakthrough, right?
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberti.com/PD.